Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Happy New Year as we begin a new liturgical year. I want you all to think, I don't know how many historians we have in the crowd, of who can remember what happened on April 14th, 1912. Historians describe that night in the North Atlantic as very calm, serene. They said that the water almost appeared like glass, and the reflection of the constellation of the stars could be seen in the ocean. There was a ship that had left England at that time, went through France, and then its last stop in Ireland before going across the North Atlantic to the United States. That ship had six different warnings asking them to change their course because there was ice in the Atlantic. Six times those warnings, either to change the course or change direction, were not heeded. I think we know the rest of the story. That's Advent. Holy Mother Church gives us this holy season. Why? To heed the warnings, the lighthouses, all the different beacons that are placed in our lives. For us to reflect what direction we are going, and do we need to change course? Advent means waiting. But what are we waiting for, and for whom? That is the question. We know that in 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, 22 days, we will celebrate the historical coming of Jesus at Christmas. That's just a fact. And we prepare ourselves with decorating our homes and parties and shopping and everything else that goes with that holiday. But then here we come, the first Sunday of Advent, and we hear the words of the Holy Gospel, and it says people will die of fright. They will be dismayed at what is happening. The heavens and earth will be shaken. Here we're thinking about the end of time. And many times we spend a lot of our lives, when is the world going to end? You have the people that approach the apocalypse. We know what happened in 1999 when the year 2000 hit. Everything was going to end. Computers weren't going to work. But here we are. We're still present here. So we know the historical coming of Jesus. We know the end of time or the end of our own lives. But what else? Where else is Jesus made present to us? And that's what I want to focus on. Because Jesus is made present every single day of our lives. It's how we choose to, one, to recognize it, and how do we respond? The most important place he's made present to us is on the altar, where he comes to us every time Mass is celebrated, his body and blood, soul and divinity, to strengthen us on our journey. When the words of the Holy Gospel are proclaimed, that's why incense is used, because Jesus, the Lord, comes to us through the scriptures, through the homily. He also comes to us through the people of God. That's why you, the people, are incensed during Mass, because of your dignity, that Jesus is present within us. There was a priest who was given a homily in December of 1964, trying to tell young people of how they should see the idea of Advent, of Christmas, and waiting, and how they should see the influence of Christ being present in their lives. And he said this: being a Christian is having love. The young priest said, priests and theologians have come up with intolerant dogma that have constructed a doctrine of Christ. Instead of urging people to love, they have demanded belief and made being a Christian depend on a confession of faith. We do not follow cleverly devised myths. In confessing the faith, we confess a coherent, reliable, beautiful, saving reality. Practicing this faith liberates us from exhausting and futile efforts to make ourselves good, or the illusion that by ourselves we already are. What faith in Christ means is that this shortfall we have in our own love is made up by the surplus of Jesus Christ's love acting on our behalf. That young priest with Father Ratzinger addressing college students in Germany. So how do we address the stars in our lives? We all have issues. We all have things that are lying. We know we speak about the stars because we know the star of Bethlehem that was on the cave when the Christ child was born, and it guided people there. So the cosmos and the stars were important to those people. That was their GPS system. We all have things that guide us. For some, it's family. For some, it may be power, wealth, a business, even the church. But who should our light and our alignment really be in the stars? But the star of Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ, should shine on everything that we do. Because something will happen that will throw our alignment off course. The infidelity of a spouse, a child that is on drugs, a loss of a job, not getting into a college you want to get into, the breaking off an engagement, you name it. Things will happen to us. But what do we need to do? What does the gospel say? Be vigilant and pray. Be vigilant. Be aware of the things that are being presented to us. Look at them through the eyes of love, not only of our love, but asking Jesus to fill our deficit that we will have. We cannot save ourselves. We are in need of a Savior. And pray. Don't let these next 22 days go on. But the vessel, the ship, our Titanic of our bodies, mind, spirit, soul, what needs to be redirected? And how do you pray? And I want to ask you this next week to try something. For those of you that have never done Eucharistic Adoration, maybe you don't even know where the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel is here. It's the cry room, okay, off here to the north entrance. Or just walk into a church. I'm asking you to to give the Lord this week 3 minutes. Just 3 minutes. I chose three, Trinitarian, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Walk in there. Say hello to your King. Say hello to the Christ that has come for you historically, will come at the end, but he's coming to you today. And ask him to redirect whatever needs to be redirected so you don't hit that iceberg. And more importantly, look at the opportunities that are placed right in front of us every single day in our families. I walk to the hospital from my office probably four times a day. For 6 weeks, there was a gentleman there that was there in the quad, a homeless man. For 6 weeks, I walked past him every single day with my heart down because I was in my ship and I was on my mission trying to get what I needed to do. And one day it dawned on me, I get free food in the lounge. I said, why don't I take him a cup of soup, something? Because I'm usually eating, coming back to my office. So I got him a cup of soup. He took it, he gracious, he told me his name. And I said, Lord, how foolish I have been. When we take care of the people that the Lord places right in front of him, then remember, then we're being Christ to one another. So if we pray, we're vigilant, we look at the opportunities that Christ places in us every single day. So when our time does come to go before the Son of Man, we can stand erect and with their heads high and know that our redemption is at hand.